tell me, Sam, that your wife's got some.
Yes. In the early 1900s, this was the largest Sea Island cotton market in the world. Now, you don't know what Sea Island cotton is. If I said long staple and short staple cotton, would you know what
I've heard of them, but I don't know what the difference is.
The long staple is as near the equivalent of Egyptian cotton as you can get it. It's a long staple that when combed, comes out in with a real strong yarn.
Uh-huh.
And the fibers are real long. And this climate here was particularly adapted to the growth of Sea Island cotton. And so, as a result, this became the largest Sea Island cotton market in the world. And Mr. Ray was the largest buyer and grower of Sea Island cotton. A grower could bring in, say, 2 bales of cotton and go around to the several buyers and the one that would offer him the most for it was the one to whom he sold it. So if Mr. was a high bidder, and the bale weighed 398 pounds, and he bought it from the buyer, told the buyer he'd give him, he'd give him 13¾ cents for it. He could, in a split second, now this is inconceivable, I never saw him do it, but there's a lot of people around here who didn't understand on it. In a split second, he could give him the exact dollars and cents for that bale of cotton. He couldn't sign a check, he couldn't, as I say, he couldn't read nor write. He did a great deal of traveling. He was one of the first in town to buy an automobile, and he was a sort that, unless it was the best, it was no good. He built this big, he owned a lot of land right here in the core city, town then. Of course, it was in the country then, because in 1880, the population was 25, and in 1900, it was only 525. But this big department store here on the corner, right, on the traffic sign, that big white face building, he built it in 1900. The buildings back of it all belonged to him, and everything that was conceived, he may not have conceived it. Well, most things he didn't. He didn't really start things because farming and cotton was his love. But when they started the hotel, they got in trouble. They needed, they first thought they could build it for $16,000, and found out they needed $25,000. Well, they got up to $15,000, and in a meeting of what are we going to do, he'd get up and say, "Well, we need $10,000, right? Yep. I'll give $10,000. I'll buy $10,000 more stock if the rest of y'all. I'll buy $5,000 of stock if the rest of you buy up the other five." And he was always providing that spark that needed to get action to complete something. Nearly everything that the courthouse here, even though it was a public building, it was built by private subscriptions. People going around just holding out the hat.
Mm-hmm.
And the schools the same way. And he loved to make speeches. Oh, he loved to make speeches. Every opportunity he got. So, the real point I'm telling all this was climaxed by the statement that he had that kind of a mind. Big people didn't bother him at all. He knew Miss. They tell a tale, and it's true because they did a feature story on it in the Savannah papers. He was on the train.